Okay, so this week's parsha, which is what we're going to be speaking about, is Parshas Kisavo. First of all, the Lui Nishmasa Chana. Does it say Chana? Chana Bas Yehuda, Allah HaHasham, and Hashem HaShem and Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah. It is also my grandmother's yurtzeit today, my paternal grandmother's yurtzeit. Yod Chas Elu, Rosa Bas Simcha HaKohen, Allah HaShem, and Hashem HaShem and Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah. My grandparents, thank you, were all Holocaust survivors. Three of them were married before the war with families. And so their second marriages and their remaking of their life was very different. I always say and think how fortunate grandchildren and even great-grandchildren are today, Kinainahar, that they have a relationship with their grandparents who are so young, and they really know what it means to have a kesher. I was zocha to have four grandparents who I knew, but not very well at all, because of their life circumstances. I did not know my grandmother very well. She was in Nefteres when I was in ninth grade, and they were like old grandparents, as opposed to today, young grandparents, and that was part of the curse that the Nazis brought. But Baruch Hashem, today our people are so strong and amazing. I hope she is nachas from her rightful place in the Olam HaEmes. Rosa Basimcha Koin, Allah HaShalom. Okay, so this week's parsha is Parshas Kisavo. Parshas Kisavo begins with the mitzvah of the bringing of Bikurim, which is really what we're going to be speaking about today. Bikurim is the mitzvah of the first fruits. You also have Parshas Kisavo is very, very famous. It's funny because I just mentioned my grandmother and Holocaust survivors. Kisavo has the second set of kalos in the Torah. The kalos are the curses, the foreshadowing of the terrible tragedies that will befall our people if we do not go in the ways of Hashem. There are two sets of kalos in the Torah. The first is in Vayikra, right at the end of Vayikra, Parshas Bichukosai. Those are the words of Hashem. Hashem, so to speak, dictated, if you will, the first four books of Torah. The fifth book of Torah, which is Devarim, is Moshe's own words. So the first set of kalos is Divrei Hashem, if you will. The second set of kalos in this week's parsha is the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. They are the terrible kalos that will befall, the curses that our people have seen one too many a time. Just one story about the kalos before we move on to Bikurim, which is the focus of our shir. The kalos are the curses, or the punishments that will befall our people. We will be hounded, we will be chased, we'll be pushed into the cities. Torah says in Bichukosai that women will eat their flesh. This week's parasha, we say that our children will be given to another nation, our eyes will pine for them all day long, we will not have any rest. Banecha uvenosecha nusunim la'am acher. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another nation. The Eincha Ra'os, and your eyes will see. The Chalos Aleim Kolayam, your eyes will pine and long for those children all day. The Ein La'al Yodecha, your hand is powerless to do anything. You will work the ground and you won't have any produce that will come up. The Hayisim Mishuga, you will become crazy. Meimara Einecha Shartira, from the sights that your eyes will see. This is Chalos that have befallen our people one too many times. My grandmother, who's here today, has lived through such kalos. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. One beautiful insight that my father-in-law shared with me a number of years ago, which is quite perceptive. He said on this pasuk, it's Parachav Ches, pasuk Lamed Beis, 28:32. Vanecha nisunim la'am acher. Your sons and your daughters will be given to a different nation. Ve'einecha ra'os. I read this pasuk already. Your eyes will see v'chalos aleihem and pine for them kol hayom. Ve'ein le'el yadecha. And you have no power in your hand to get them back. So my father-in-law suggested something very impactful when we think of the Holocaust. Very true. What is the curse here? Your sons and your daughters will be given to another nation. Your eyes will see and pine for them, but you are powerless to do anything. So he suggested so impactfully, this is when Jews had to give their own children over to the enemy for salvation. When the Jew had to knock on the monastery door and say, will you please keep my child? When the Jew had to go to the Polish landowner who maybe would be compassionate, can you hide my child in your cellar? It's not when the enemy takes your children. That's a different curse. It's when nisunim la'am acher, when your own sons and your own daughters have to be given over by your own hand. Ein la'el yadecha. Your hand is powerless to do anything. When you have to go to the umos ha'olam, because it's the worst gehenim you could ever imagine, and say, please take my child. Nisunim la'am acher. Ve'einecha ra'os. You're alive to still see it. You know your children have gone on a kinder transport and you're here. You know how your children have been sent away and you're still here. You know you're in the ghetto and they're pretending to be an Aryan. Ve'ein ha-ra'os, you're alive to feel the pain still of your child being given. Rachmana l'slan, Hashem yirachim aleinu. a child is given to another nation, the chalos aleim kolam, you pine for that child every moment of your existence, knowing the child is alive and suffering, living a life as an Aryan, the ein le'al yadacha, and you are powerless to do anything. So one famous story before we go to Bikurim, one famous story of the Klosenberger Rebbe, Zeichar Tzadik Kadosh Levracha. It was the years after the war, after the Klosenberger left. He was one of the last to stay. He wouldn't leave Europe before his flock. And it was Williamsburg, and it was the parasha of Kisavo. And we have a long-standing custom in Israel to read the klalos, the curses, quickly and quietly. Some of you may know this story. Quickly and quietly, because we want the... It shows that quickly, read them, get them over with fast, quietly. We shouldn't hear of such things like we say today. One reason that we read the klalos specifically always before Rosh Hashanah is Tachel Shana, the Kilkol Aseha. The year should end and her curses should end. We go into the year with bracha. No curses in the coming year, Halavai. So Baal Korah was reading the Torah, the person who leans the Torah was reading quickly and quietly, and the Klosenberg Rebbe stood up and he banged on the biba and he said, Hecher! Louder, right? Hecher means louder, yeah? Louder! So I didn't know if I got the Yiddish word right. Louder. So everyone was, you know, astonished. And I think I tell this in Ohel class, even though I didn't this year. I didn't. So everybody was astonished, and the Baal Korah thinks he must not have heard properly. What could the Klosenberger possibly mean by louder? You don't read this louder? So he continued to read it quietly, and he continued to read it quickly. And the Klosenberger yelled, and he banged, he gave a clap, and he says, Ich hab gesagt Hecher, I said read it louder. And now they understood that it wasn't a mistake. And he said, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Let the Ribono Shel Olam hear. We have suffered all of the klalos, and even more. The time for redemption has come. Read it louder. He also concluded by saying the redemption will come, but not from here, only in Eretz Yisrael. And then, of course, the Klosenberg Zatzal went and he built up Netanya Laniado Hospital. It's very famous that during the war, he found a leaf. He had a wound, and he had found a leaf to cover himself, to cover this wound. It's brought down in the biography. It's written by Feldheim. Highly recommend. So he made a promise, and he said, if this wound heals with this leaf, Hashem, then if I survive this Gehenim, I will dedicate my life to healing people. So Ichai Bezok Techer, the Ribbono Shel Olam should see already and should hear that we have suffered the kolos one too many times. Tachal Shana, the Kilkol Aseha, the year, and its curses should end. And we should be Zocha to Shani Yala Rosh. The words are actually in this week's parsha. We should be finally for the Rosh. The bracha is Shani Yala Rosh for the Zanav. The Kala tells us we will be for the Zanav and not for the Rosh. The segue, if you will, into Bikurim is the following pasuk. We read about all these terrible kalos that befall us. Hey, your animals will be slaughtered before your eyes. You won't have any food. Your animals will be stolen from before you. They will be given to the enemy. But the pasuk tells us very famously in the midst of the kolos, his perachav ches pakasuk mem zayin 28:47. Why does all this happen to us? Why has all this befallen us? Why have all these tragedies come about? What is so terrible? So in Bechukosai we're told we reject the statutes of Hashem. In Bechukosai tim asu, we do not go in the ways of Torah. We have rejected the mitzvos. We have thrown off all malchus shamayim. However, here in this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says something a little bit different. Moshe Rabbeinu says a famous pasuk, which some of you may be aware of. He says, "Tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'betuv levav meirov kol." If you want to know the deficiency in Knesset Yisrael from time to time, "Tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha," because you did not serve Hashem your God b'simcha, with a sense of happiness, with a sense of contentment, with a sense of joy, with a sense of gladness, meirov kol, when everything was so good for you, you did not have the happiness and the joy of the heart. You did not appreciate the goodness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You did not rejoice with the simcha that He gave you. "Tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav meirov kol." And it's interesting that this pasuk and parsha are also read right before the time period of the Yomim Tovim, when the Avoda of Sukkos is to be besimcha. It's a time when we're supposed to be besimcha. It's not a time where we're supposed to be focusing on Saras and Sakrach and Tzahar. It's a time when we spoke about it a few weeks ago. I hope everybody remembers. We spoke about the double lashon of simcha vis-a-vis Sukkos. We spoke about v'samachta b'chagacha v'hayisa achsam be'ech. And so the Torah tells you when you are not b'simcha, when you are not, you don't have the gladness and the goodness of the heart when everything is so good for you. So Rachmana Litzlan, then the Ribbono Shel Olam reminds us how good we had it. Rav Elimelech Biderman tells over. Rav Elimelech Biderman is a big mashpia. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. And Rav, Chassidish Rav, mashpia in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Elimelech Biderman tells over the following mashal. There was a certain man, and everything was always very difficult for him. And he always complained about how his life was going. So he had this man. I think someone else was coming in. Is the door open? Okay, I'll figure it out. So there was this certain man, and everything was very bad for him, and he was always complaining. So he had a business. So he had a business. Is there a chair? There's a chair right here. Okay. So he had a business. And he said, "Oi, the business, it's so hard for me, and it's not going well, and I'm not successful enough in it." So God said, so to speak, "You think that's bad? I'll show you what's bad." So the business sank and tanked, and it really didn't do well. And then he was walking along, and something happened to him, and he hurt his foot. He says, "Oi, I hurt my foot. It's so hard for me." God says, "You think that's bad? I'll show you what's bad." He took away the ability to walk. And then he said, "Oi, I have no money. I can't eat." The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "You think that's bad? I'll show you what's bad." Finally, when he hit rock bottom, the man said, "Baruch Hashem, I'm alive." And God said, "You think that's good? I'll show you what's good." His legs were healed. He was able to walk. He says, "Wow, Baruch Hashem, I could walk." God says, "You think that's good? I'll show you what's good." Someone gave him a loan. He was able to start the business again. "Baruch Hashem, I can start my business again. You think that's good? I'll show you what's good." He had food. He was able to pay back. And Rav Elimelech Biderman is really using this mashal, which I surmise is not a true story, to teach us what our focus should be on in life, that we have a choice in our lives. V'samachta b'chol hatov. I'm quoting, that is from Vidui Bikurim. Hey, that's from the beginning of the parsha. When you bring your first fruits up to Yerushalayim, double time, two times in this parsha, I should say Beli Neder. After last week, I told you 2 psukim, it was really 3 psukim. So I should say Beli Neder. As far as my knowledge is today, although I could be wrong, there are 2 times we have the inyan of Simcha in this week's parsha. One is in the beginning of the parsha in regard to Bikurim, when you bring your first fruits, and when your field grows, and when you have bounty, and you have the Shiva Saminim, the 7 blessed species of Eretz Yisrael, and the Rimon, the pomegranate grows, and the Te'ena, the fig grows, and the Anavim, the grapes grow, and you bring it up to the Kohen, you should rejoice in what you have. You should rejoice in what God has given. You should say, "Wow, this is so good. Baruch Hashem." Hashem will say, "You think that's good? Let me show you what's even better." And then you say, "That's good." The flip side is by the Kalos 28:47, when we have the terrible, when we focus on negative, and very often it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you focus on the negative, and you see the negative. So, Rachmana Litzlan, very often it becomes negative. Kapitel Lamed Dalet of Tehillim, which is a kapitel that Bli Neder, I say every day. David HaMelech tells us the secret to longevity. Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim, who is the man who desires life? You know these psukim off by heart. Ohev Yamim Lir Os Tov, who loves days to see good. The answer, says King David, is Netzar Lashon Chameira, guard your tongue from bad. Usfasecha Midaber Mirma, your lips from speaking with deceit. Sur Meira, Asay Tov, turn from bad, do good. Bakeshon Verafehu. But I have proposed in the past that I think that I humbly offer this to you because I think it makes sense. I think that those are Kapitel Amidalet Psukim Yud Gimel through Tesva. Verses 13 through 15, I believe. So I think that we punctuate the psukim incorrectly. I think that King David is really telling you the secret to life as follows. Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim. The first statement's a question, okay? Pasuk Yud Gimel is a question. I'm a kapitel amadal here. A question. What's the question? King David says, Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim, Ohev Yamim, Lir Os Tov. So generally, we put the question mark after that pasuk. Who is the man, Ohev Yamim, who loves days, who desires life to see good? Question mark. Netzor Lashon Chameira. Answer, guard your tongue from bad and your lips from deceit, seek out peace or run after. I think we need to repunctuate these psukim. Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim, who is the man who desires life? Ohev Yamim, now put the question mark. Who loves days? Then what does the answer start with? Lir Os Tov. Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim, King David is asking you, who is the man who desires life. Ohev Yamim, who loves days. Now put your question mark. Now the answer begins with which words? Liros Tov, to see God. That's the beginning of the answer of he who desires life. You need to put the question mark. You need to change the punctuation here a little bit. And you need to put the question mark in the middle of the pasuk. If you want to know the elixir, am I saying the word right? Elixir, right? If you want to know, elixir, which one?
Elixir.
If you want to know the elixir of life, if you want to know the magic potion of life, you should know what the answer is. It doesn't begin with Nitzra Lashon Chameira. So often we say that's the beginning of the answer. It's not true. It begins with Liros Tov. If you see the good, and you have nothing bad to say, then of course, your good speech, your pleasant speech, your positive speech will naturally follow the seeing of the good. If you see the good, you will speak the good. If you see the good, you will think the good. And if you see the good, you will bow down. Then you will bow down in thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then you will talk and bring your bikurim, and you will v'samachta b'chol tov v'shenasamcha Hashem. I will rejoice because I see the good and the bounty that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given me. Lahafecha Vali Melech Biderman says, you think that's bad? Let me show you what's bad. Because very often it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We don't have so much bechira in life. Some people are going to take umbrage. What I mean by that is we have a lot of bechira in life. Okay? Parshas Nitzavim, which we're coming up to next week. Nitzavim. Okay? We are told, Hinei nesati lefanecha, chayim v'hatov, hamavis v'harel, v'charta b'chayim, l'man tichya. Of course we have a choice. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mir shemayim. We have a choice to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a choice to do good. We have a choice to see God. We don't have a choice about what happens to us externally. Often, I'm not explaining myself well. The Ribbono Shel Olam sends us pekelech. By that, you don't have a choice. You have a choice as to what you now do, is to your perception, is to how you see the world through what you have been sent. I have a choice to be besimcha or to not be besimcha. I cannot change, I wasn't saying well, I cannot change what God sends my way more often than not. It's a reality. However, I can change the choice I make as to how to view the situation and deal with the situation. And fascinatingly, okay, in the beginning of the Torah, and I mean in the beginning as in right in the beginning, the pasuk begins with Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz. And how do you translate? That's a big question. It's better not to translate. If you know by now, we spoke last week about tshuva, 2 weeks ago, tshuva and acronym, and I said there's many words that I can't translate. So I was in Baltimore this past Sunday morning, so I said in the shir that, I said, this word, how would you translate it? So someone in the audience said, you can't. I said, that's very validating. Thank you. There are certain words that cannot talk of, that you just can't translate into English. So Bereshis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim Ve'esa Aretz is generally translated in the beginning Elokim created the heavens and the earth. Fine, there is so much going on in this pasuk that it loses everything when you translate it. However, that's how it's translated. It's the first pasuk in the Torah. But Chazal say in Rashi quotes it on Perek Aleph, pasuk Aleph in the Torah. Okay, Bereshis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim Ve'esa Aretz means Bishvil Reishis, that's exactly right. Elohim created the heaven and earth. So what does that mean, Bishvil Reishis? For Reishis. Bereishis means for Reishis. For something that's Reishis. Hashem created the heavens and the earth. What is Bishvil Reishis? That for, yeah. Oh, very nice. So Chazal give different answers. So one answer, which I looked up in Vayikra Rabbah, is quoted by Rashi this morning. I went to see the source. So one answer is Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. One answer is for Israel, who is called Reishis. The whole world was created for Bnei Yisrael. I could understand that. Where would the world be without Klal Yisrael? What would be the purpose of the world without the Siyas and Mitzvos, without Kabbalah Satorah, without the Chesed, without Torah? What's going on? Everyone's looking around. I can't hear. What? Okay, could I ask a favor of everybody in the group? Could you, because this, we are not even so far into Shir, and it's a couple of disturbances already. I also need my cell phone, and I use it all the time. Could everyone just check their phone, please? Could everyone, please, everyone, check their phone and make sure that it's on vibrate, off, or silent? Please, check your phone, even if you think you did it already. Okay. Please. Okay, let's go on. So please let's go on. So Reishis, Bereishis, Bar Elokim, Esa Shemayim Vesar. It's Bishvil Reishis. It doesn't mean in the beginning of the world God created heavens and earth. That sentence would be problematic anyway. In the beginning created light. He didn't create heavens and earth in the beginning in the first place. So there's a lot of ways to explain this. But one is what we're going with. Today is quoted by Rashi, Bishvil Reishis. For something called Reishis, the whole world was created. So what was the whole world created for? Klal Yisrael, where would we be without the Torah, the Avodah, and the Gemilas Chasadim of Knesset Yisrael? Where would we be without the mitzvahs of Knesset Yisrael? Where would we be without the kindness of Israel? Mikam Chayisrael, Goy Echad Baretz. So, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. Another pshat, another interpretation of the sages is Bishvil Torah. For Torah, Shenikra Reishis, something else that's called Reishis means first. So Israel is the first amongst the nations. What else is first? Torah is first. In fact, you all know this, Ma'amar from Zohar, Histakobel, Raisa, Uvara Ama. The Torah preceded everything. The Torah is first. God looked in the Torah as the blueprint to create the world. So if you want to know what the purpose of the creation of the heavens and the earth were, it's for Torah. Where would we be without Torah? When the Pasuk says, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, all the way at the end of Perak Aleph. Vayar Elokim is kosher. Asa vine tov ma'od. Vayihi erev. Vayihi boker yom hashishi. So all the other days, it was evening, it was morning, it was the sixth day. All the other days don't have a hey hayidia, a knowing hey, an identifying article before the world. It was day three, day four, day five, the sixth day. Do you understand the difference? Day three, day four, day five, the sixth. So what's the six? The hey hayudia. So Rashi says, hey, hosif hey bashishi. Why do you have this hey hayudia, the knowing, the identifying hey on the sixth day? At the end of Maisa Bereishis, as if to say that God made a condition with them, that the world will only remain in existence. Sheikablu aleim Yisrael chamishachum sheitar. Hey in gematria equals what? Five. Five books of Torah. So God made a condition with Maisa Bereishis that all the components of creation will only remain in existence if Israel accepts upon themselves five books of Torah. This really brings together the two Reishis. We said, Bishvil Reishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikru Reishis, Bishvil Torah, Shenikru Reishis. So here you have Yom HaShishi puts these together on the sixth day. Why the sixth day? I'm recapping because Rashi says God made a condition with the heavens and the earth and the birds and the trees and the flowers and the animals and the food that and the rain and the grass. You will all only continue to exist if Israel Reishis accepts Torah, which is Reishis. So the whole Maisa Bereishis is dependent on Israel and Torah. So I understand that. Rashi gives another reason, which also is the exact same idea. Hashishi refers to the sixth day. The sixth day of what? Sivan. What happened on the sixth of Sivan? Israel accepted the Torah. So it goes the same way. Reishis and Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. Torah Shenikru Reishis, as in Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. So because Israel accepted the Torah, the whole world continues to exist. So I understand those two. It makes a lot of sense. For Israel and for Torah, the whole world was created. However, Chazal also say, Bishvil Bikurim Shenikru Reishis. The beginning of the Parsha, I already said a few times, deals with the topic of first fruits. The bringing of the first fruits up to the temple, the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, to the priest, to the Kohen. V'haya kisavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosim. It will be when you come to the land that God gives you as an inheritance and you take possession and you dwell in the land. This is the beginning. I was before by the klalos, which is towards the end of the parsha. Now I went to the beginning, which is the beginning of the parsha. I didn't forget that we're talking about this idea of seeing the good and simcha. You think that's bad? I'll show you what's bad. You think that's good? I'll show you what's good. So he said, I don't have a choice about what happens to me more often in than life, but I have a choice as to how I approach that situation, view that situation, put the question mark after. Who is the man who desires life, who wants days? Question mark. He who sees the good. And you should take, ready? May Reishis. Oh, what word? Reishis. May Reishis called pri, it's not a trick, called priha dama. You should take from the first fruits of the land that you bring from your land that God gives you. You should put it in the basket. You should go to the place that God chooses to dwell his name there. So, Bikurim is the first fruit that grows with the crop, and it is called Reishis. Reishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz. For the Reishis of Israel, the whole world was created. I understand. For the Reishis of Torah, the whole world was created. I understand. Would the world continue to exist without Torah and Israel? No, we already quoted Rashi, Vayom Hashishi, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, that says without the stipulation of Israel Reishis, accepting Torah Reishis, the world would go into null and void. But the sages also say that the whole world was created for Bikurim. I mean, it's a nice mitzvah to bring your fruits up to the temple when you have, and by the way, it's only a mitzvah from the Shiva Saminim, Devarim Perachas, Pachasuchas, you know the Shiva Saminim, Eretz Chito, Usora, Gefenu, Te'ena, Verimon, Eretz Eichemenu, Devash, it only, the first fruits are only brought from the seven species of produce with which Israel is blessed. So if you grow Jaffa oranges, they might be very delicious, and they might be very sweet, and if you plant an apple orchard, they might be very wonderful, but you do not bring your apples and your oranges up to the temple as a donation, as a gift of first fruits to the Kohen, to the Beis HaMikdash, to God. Why not? Because it's not from the Shiva Saminim. It could only be from the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael. So it's a very big question. I understand that the whole world is created for Israel. Reishis. I understand the whole world is created for Torah. Reishis. Rashi to Perek Aleph Pasuk Lamed Aleph puts Israel, we're applying that to the Reishis together. But for Bikurim, maybe tell me the whole world is created for, I don't know, a different, it's a Bikurim? What is the secret behind Bikurim that the whole world was created for this Reishis? So before I tell you the way I wanted to go, I'm going to tell you what Rachi Fried said Monday morning, and she proposed something very beautiful that I never considered before. Knesset Yisrael, we have three Yisraels. We have Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. Our nation depends or exists with these three things. Am Yisrael, the people of Israel, Torah Yisrael, the Torah of Israel, and Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. So Rachi said something beautiful. She said, Reishis of Bikurim really represents the bounty of Eretz Yisrael, because it's only from the Shiva Saminim. Perchas pasachas in Devarim, Eretz Chita, Perchas Ekev, Eretz Chita usur ora vegefenu te'ena verimun, Eretz Eichem in Devash. The Shiva Saminim, the seven blessed species of Eretz Yisrael, is really Shavach Shal Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what Rashi says. Rashi says, you bring Bikurim only from the Shiva Saminim. Shenishtabcha bahen Eretz Yisrael, through which the land of Israel is praised, through these seven species. Therefore, Bikurim is Mishavach Eretz Yisrael. So Rachi said something that I never heard this before, and I never thought of it before. She said, the Reishis of Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Ve'es HaAretz, B'chvil Bikurim Shenikru Reishis, is really an allusion to Eretz Yisrael, the third pillar upon which our people depends. We have Am Yisrael, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. We have Torah Yisrael, our Torah, our holy law book, Bishvil Torah Shenikru Reishis. And Rachi said, maybe the Bikurim is really an allusion to Eretz Yisrael. So when the Torah says, what Chazal say, that the whole world was created for the Reishis of Bikurim, it's not dumb talking about putting your fruit in your basket and going up to the Kohen and declaring Arami Ovid Avi Vayered Mitzrayim Vayagasham Bimsei Mat. It's not just the process of bringing the fruit up to the temple in Jerusalem. It's actually symbolic of the blessed land that God gave us. So now we could say it's a beautiful pshat, it's a beautiful interpretation. Reishis, the whole world was created for Israel, Am Yisrael. Reishis, the whole world was created for Torah, Torah Yisrael. Reishis, Bikurim, the whole world was created for the Shabbach of Eretz Yisrael. So I told her, it's a beautiful pshat. I never thought of it, you're right. And here we see that the sages are really teaching the whole world was created for Torah, Israel, and Eretz Yisrael. It's beautiful. Beautiful. That is not what I was proposing, but she interjected, and I think it's very worthwhile to share. It reminds us of the importance of Eretz Yisrael, because that really is one of the foundations of Am Yisrael. You know, my husband and I were just talking on Sunday when we were loading up the car, leaving Baltimore. Not really. We didn't barely packed anything. We were only there for 11 hours. So we were talking about Eretz Yisrael. And I said, you know, it's so strange. Another people, most of our national existence over history, we have been out of Eretz Yisrael, not inside of Eretz Yisrael. There are people with a Golus mentality and a Golus existence. Even in the time of Bais Sheni, the Second Temple, most of the Jews remained in Bavel. And yet, we always pine and long. Like, what is it? It's like ingrained in your neshama. Just like Torah is ingrained in your neshama. Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, Chashivus Eretz Yisrael, love of Israel, importance of the land of Israel, Shevach Eretz Yisrael is ingrained into our very, it's like a Mesorah, I said to my husband, just like we pass down the Mesorah, the tradition of Torah to our children, we also pass down the Mesorah of Eretz Yisrael. You all know it, you feel different there, you feel holier there, you feel more connected there, everything is different in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi said, it's not such an enigma that Chazal say the Torah was created for Bikurim, because Bikurim is the reishis of Shavach Shal, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. And yes, for those three things, it was worthwhile that the whole world should be created. Amazing. I was going to propose something else. But I'll tell you now what I was going to propose. What is it that the whole world was created for? Bikurim, Sheniku Reishis, first fruits. I mean, it's a very nice mitzvah. But again, is it on such a madrega? It's on the same level of the creation of the Jewish nation? Is it on the same madrega as the giving of the Torah? So, we already quoted the first two psukim. You will come to the land that God gives you as an inheritance. You take possession of the land. You dwell in the land. You take from the first fruits of the ground, from the God's giving you. We already said it's only from the Shivas Haminim. You put it in the basket. Vesamta Batena. You put the first fruits in your basket. It's very interesting. The poor would bring their first fruits in a willow basket, and the rich would bring their first fruits in a gold and or silver basket. So whatever your level is, you put your fruits in your basket, and you go to the place that God has chosen to rest his name there, and you come to the Kohen that will be in those days. And you say, I declare today before Hashem that I came to the land that God swore to our forefathers. The Kohen takes a basket from your hand, it places before the altar of God, and you make a whole vidui bikurim, a passage, a declaration. Now, it's very interesting. Some of us don't remember that the crux of the Haggadah Shel Pesach is not in Sefer Shemos and Parshas Bo, where you think you might find it. The whole Leil HaSeder, the essence of Magid, all the verses that the Baal Haggadah expounds upon and teaches us when we sit down on Seder night is right here. V'anisa, you lift your voice. It's a loud declaration. V'amarta lifnei Hashem, you say before God, Arami oved avi. These words should sound very familiar because we have been saying them, you know, for many years, always. Arami oved avi, an Aramean wanted to enslave and to destroy my father. Who are we talking about? Lavan says the Haggadah, Lavan b'kesh l'akor esakol. Lavan wanted to uproot everything. By Yerid Mitzrayma, we went down to Egypt. By Yagasham Bimsei Ma'at, we dwelt there small in number. And we were a great nation. We were strong and we were many. We became many from the oppression of Egypt. By Yerei Osanu Amitzrim, the Egyptians did bad to us. By Anunu, they oppressed us. By Yitnu Aleinu Avoda Kasha, they put upon us hard work. By Nitzak, we screamed out to Hashem our God. And the the Hasidim Misaprim, now, when you get up to Vanitzak in the Haggadah, in Magid, that is a time to ask for anything that you want. When you say in Magid, Vanitzak, El Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, you should call to God and ask for what you want. Vayishma Hashem Eskoleinu, God heard our voice. We say this all on Leil Seder. Vayar Sanienu, we saw our affliction and our back-breaking labor and our pain, and Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great wonders. And he brought us to this place. He brought me here. He gave me this land. There's a land of milk and honey. Va'ata, and now, hinehe vesi es reishis, I have brought thee reishis pri ha'adama. So Rachi's right, because it's right there in the pasuk. The reishis of Bikurim is linked to the fruit pri ha'adama. It's beferish, it's explicit in the pasuk, pri ha'adama. So the reishis of Bikurim is a declaration of this is the shavach, the praise of the land of Israel, and I placed it before God, I prostrate before God. Last pasuk of this passage that deals with Bikurim, v'samachta. And this is where I was going, since I digressed from the kolos about 20 minutes ago. And I did, Baruch Hashem, forget where I'm going. Hashem should help me. V'samachta b'chalatov, you should rejoice with all the good. Ah, oh, what word? Simcha. Asher nasan l'cha Hashem elokecha, that God gives you and to your household and to you and the levi and the ger, the carver that's in your midst. So what I was going to propose, different than Rachi, is that the whole Maisa Bikurim, the whole world was worthwhile to create for first fruits, because first fruits represents the idea of rejoicing, of simcha, with the good that Hashem gives you. V'samachta b'chol atov, you shall rejoice with all the good, asher nesan l'cha, lashon yachid, that is in the singular, that God gives you. So the guy, the farmer, the poor man who comes with his willow, weed, wicker basket, and his meager fruits, he must rejoice in the good that he has. Now maybe he wants to look at the farmer next to him with his golden basket and his bountiful fruits, and he might say, oi, this is so bad. But the key to the avodah is not to look at what the next guy has, but to look at my basket, v'samta batena. I have to put it in my own basket. I have to rejoice with the bounty that Hashem gave me. And for this lesson of simcha, we said it a few weeks ago, Sam Moach Hashem. Put your mind, put your brain, put your thoughts to God for this whole idea of simcha. And it's a hard avoda to be besimcha. It's not an easy thing. I think I told it to you when we spoke about the simcha of Sukkot. That a time it came to Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Mikom Damo, who's one of the Harnof Kedoshim. We're coming up to the Yurt Seni Cheshvan. And he said to Rav Moshe Twersky, Zatzal, it was before the Yamim Naraim, it was before he left yeshiva to go home for the Chagim. And he said, what's my avoda? What's my avoda Hashem? What's my work now during this time period? So Rav Moshe Twersky said, you should be besimcha. So the Talmud said, that's it? So Rabbi said, you should know it's a very difficult avoda. But the whole world, Bishvil Bikurim, for first fruits, Shenikru Reishis. But what's the key to Bikurim? How does the whole passage end? It's not enough to bring up the fruits. And yes, you're following halacha, and it's very nice, and you're taking the first fruit that goes. But it is to acknowledge a measure of, wow, Baruch Hashem, at least I could breathe. You think that's good? I'll show you what's good. It's to rejoice in what the Almighty gives us. And for that alone, it was worth it to be created. When a Jew can acknowledge, can prostrate before God, and can say, Baruch Hashem, this is so good. Baruch Hashem, I have simcha in my life. Baruch Hashem, I'm choosing to see lir'os tov, v'samachta b'chol atov. Should rejoice in all the good. When the Jew can say, lir'os tov, I'm a person who sees that good, for that the whole world was created. So I want to quote from an article that Risa Rotman shared with me. I met Risa when I went to Eretz Yisrael in the end of June, beginning of July. And I just mentioned with Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo Zatzal. Risa's husband was another one of the Har Nof Kedoshim. Chaim Howie Rotman, Zichron Avrach Hashem Yikom Damo, was one of the Kedoshe Har Nof. Okay? He was murdered in the massacre. And Risa published an article, sometimes she has articles on aish.com, so she sent it to me last week, she would add me the text of the article, so I said it was very moving, and that you should be zocha to inspire many. So Risa said, I don't think so many people read it. So I said, I'm going to tell it over my classes, so more people will hear it. So I'm going to share with you Risa's article, and this is really a powerful Musar Haskel, a lesson to all of us, and a reminder that though I cannot choose what happens to me in life, I can choose whether I am samachta b'chol hatuv, like it says by Bikurim, I rejoice, however you want to translate simcha, another word that really can't be translated, because happy, like the Umas Olam think of happy, is totally not the correct translation, but it is a sense of joy with what God gives me, a sense of contentment, of satisfaction, of being makir tov, recognizing the God. I can choose, like the beginning of the parsha, v'samachta b'chol atov, asher nasan l'cha Hashem. I must rejoice with all the good that God gives me and my household and my son and the convert in the midst. Or, chalila, you come to the end of the parsha and you're told, tachas asher lo avadata. The word simcha and tov appear in both contexts in this parsha. By bikurim, it's positive. You are rejoicing and you do see the good. And by the end of the parsha, by the klalos, you have chosen not to see the good and you have chosen not to rejoice. And the choice, like David HaMelech reminds us in Lamed Daled of Tehillim, the choice that King David says is mine. Yes, I cannot choose externally what happens to me. How I view this matzav, this situation, is very much in my hand. So this is Risa's article, and I told her I'm going to share it with my classes. Okay. Here we go. During the summer vacation, writes Risa, I came face to face with the mortality of my motherhood, as I have known it to be over the past 30 years. My baby is growing up. I had it all mapped out. All my older kids would be away for a few nights with their camps. I would be alone with my youngest son, an 8-year-old. He would be at camp till 2:30 that day. Her son is only 8, and the massacre was 5 years ago, so the youngest child at the time of the massacre, Rahman al-Tsan, was a very little boy. He would be at camp till 2:30 in the afternoon, and then we could go on a jaunt just by ourselves. We would spend some special time together. The aquarium was his choice destination. In the end, my little boy did have water time. But it didn't include fish and it didn't include me. It turned out that that very day, my son's camp was having a special outing to a water park. And my little boy would be arriving home at 9 p.m. Little boy was geared up for his outing with no thoughts that he was leaving mommy all alone for the day. I helped him pack up. He had food. Like any Jewish mother, he had snacks. Like any good Jewish mother, he had drink. He had swim gear. Drink. Doesn't matter how old your kid is, you're still bringing them drinks. Okay, to school mitzvos. I was going to spend an entire day without any kids in my circumference. I wondered about my future. Is my mothering career of 30 years winding down? Am I no longer needed as the main care provider after all these years? Did my littlest child really have to grow up and assert his independence? Of course he did. I just wasn't sure if I was ready, even though he was. These meanderings in my mind led me to another precious little boy in my life who has gone to his everlasting journey. I'm not sure if anyone is aware, but about 10 years before the massacre, Risa and her husband lost a son. These meanderings led me to another precious little boy in my life who has gone to his everlasting journey. In his case, he wasn't a little boy, but it's a far longer journey. 14 years ago, writes Risa, my eldest son, almost 18, so he was 17 at the time, was learning in yeshiva not far from home. The blazing summer studies were coming to an end. A fire had broken out in a nearby forest. Uncharacteristically, my son rode his bike to see what was happening in the forest. A search party was sent out. Within a few hours, his body was found in the dark of night on the forest floor. I was unaware of his exploration. It was a Wednesday like any other Wednesday. At 5:30, a man called to inform me that he had found a bike in the forest. Our phone number was on the label on the bike. It was not an uncommon occurrence for bikes to be stolen, ditched in a forest. I was sure it was just a nuisance. I went to check. Was a bike missing? With a gaggle of boys, we were the owner of a small collection of bikes. I called my husband to tell him we would have the headache of retrieving a bike from the forest. My husband called the yeshiva to inform our son his bike had been stolen. We learned quite quickly that our son had left yeshiva on said bike, and we hadn't returned. The boys in yeshiva thought he must have come home. A search party was sent out. Forensic evidence found he had fallen from one of the cliffs of the mountainous Jerusalem forest. This little boy also went on a journey. His soul came down and joined us for a mere 17 years and 9 months. He was kind and loving, shy and smart, curious and deep. You should know that when I spoke in Harnof, it was the first week of last week of June, and Risa arranged it this year. It was, I know, a very nice turnout. Somebody in the neighborhood hosted, and she did not say that we should dedicate the shir l'zecher nishmas her husband, but the shir was a short time before the batira of her sons, Yurtzait, and the shir was dedicated l'ilui nishmaso. He remains in my heart for always, but just as I can't control my youngest son from now journeying to babyhood to Boyd and beyond, I could not have stopped my eldest son from moving on with his journey. Now his journey would take him to the place where the soul flourishes without the impediment of a body. You know, 2 nights ago, I read a very piercing insight by Rav Aryeh Levin. Rav Aryeh Levin, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, was known as the Tzaddik from Jerusalem, the father of the prisoners. He was an Adam Gadol. He ended up, I don't know if I should say he was Zocha, Rav Yashuv became his son-in-law. I should say Rav Yashuv was Zocha, Rav Levin was his father-in-law. But Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. And I just read a very piercing insight by Rav Aryeh Levin. And I never considered it before, and it ties into Risa's article over here. Rav Aryeh Levin says that when a baby is born, everyone rejoices and is so happy. And what's the baby doing at the moment of birth? Crying. A child enters this world, the child cries, everyone rejoices. When the person leaves this world, everyone cries. And what is the soul doing? Rejoicing. Where is the soul going? To its eternal rest. Very interesting perspective on Petira. Now my son, she writes, his journey would take him to the place where the soul flourishes without the impediment of a body. I know it is considered acceptable and even fitting to feel anger in times of bereavement, but Risa writes, she never did feel any anger. I was certainly sad. I cried every day, says Risa, for the entire year after his passing. Till today, the thought flitters through my mind, what kind of adult he could have grown to be. But anger in all these 14 years, I have never felt. What is her choice? I would rather think of the gift that I had, my son, says Risa, for those 17 years, than focus on his loss. There can't be a more powerful, courageous, inspiring, high degree of one who chooses v'samachta b'chol atov asher nesanecha Hashem. For that, the whole world was worthwhile to be created. Bereishis bara Elokim esa shemayim ve'esa aretz b'shvil bikurim shenikru reishis. The whole world is created for first fruits. I mean, the pomegranate's nice, but the whole world was created. So Rachi offered something, a tremendous pshat. For Eretz Yisrael, the world was created. But something else. For Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha, v'olafan of birnana, mizmar l'soda, for that it was worthwhile that the whole world was created. And that's the avoda that we're coming up to in this season of Yomim Tovim. V'samachta b'chagecha, we had our shirne, v'ayisa ach samech. Says Risa, as my littlest boy grows and gains his independence, I hope and pray I will witness his progression to teenager, adult, fatherhood, and beyond. I am sure there will be bumps along the way, and my involvement, read interference, says Risa, will not always be wanted. It's a lesson of letting go. I learned this lesson over a decade ago, when I realized I was given the celestial, capital C, message that I need to relinquish control while cherishing the memories of my oldest son. And for that, the whole world is created. And for that, it's worthwhile that the whole world should be created. Not only is Sukkot a time of Simcha, as we saw, Parshas Re'eh, we spoke about it in depth, but even Elul, and I'm going to share with you a humorous vignette that has a lesson, is also a time of Simcha. Sometimes we come to Elul and we feel a sense of pachad. Let me rephrase that. Hopefully you come to Elul and you feel a sense of trepidation and fear and pachar. Like our rabbi said, Rabbi Willig, on his Shabbos drasha by Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul, he said it used to be in the Altahayim, people felt afraid. It came to Elul, they were scared. The shofar's blown every morning. Ooh, Yisheni Bishnaseichem, wake up, you that slumbers. And slichos are recited by the Sfaradim starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, and it's a time of teshuvah, and it's a time of Kabbalah, repentance and acceptance and takaras for the new year, and it's a scary time. People used to feel Elul. Now, says Rabbi Willig, people say Elul, Olav HaShalom. There's no more fear, no one's afraid, it's just a month like every other month. So hopefully when you come to Elul, we feel some sense of pachar. The downside is that sometimes you feel too much pachar and you forget the simcha. So I was listening to a shir, Rabbi Amalitsky, and it was a great vignette. I've told it over in a lot of venues, and it always gets a laugh, but it has a lesson. Rabbi Surreal Milsky is a rav in Highland Park, New Jersey, and he told over the following humorous story, because he was saying that sometimes Elul is depressing. He comes every year to Elul, and he takes the same Kabbalah and Takana every year. He says he looks in his Elul notebook, he writes down what he needs to work on, said Rabbi Militsky, and every year it's the same three or four things that he still needs to work on. So he feels like yayush, like help. Like, really? 5 years, 10 years, I'm writing down the same thing? Can I ever change? Is there any hope for me? You could become depressed by Elul. So he said, and certainly the Yom Ha'Noraim, it's a time of terror, and the king is sitting on the throne, it's coronation day. Rav Salvechik calls Rosh Hashanah coronation day. It's the Yom Hadin, it's the judgment day. My gosh, everything's going to be scrutinized. It's terrifying. So Rabbi Militsky tells over the following humorous story, and I don't know if it's true or not true, but it has a nice point. There was a certain yeshiva, and there was one late. There was one bachar who was the mocker, the scoffer in the yeshiva, and it was Adar. And they come up to the Purim Masiba, and the Bachar gets drunk at the Purim party, and a hafachu, now he doesn't know the difference between Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai, in fulfillment of Chaim Adam, you have to drink, Adelo Yada. And he starts to make fun of all the Rebbeim in the yeshiva. This drunk Bachar puts on a skit, and he's making fun of all the Rebbeim in the yeshiva, and everybody's laughing. By the way, one of the Al-Chaitas, Al-Chait Shechatan Fenecha, Bezilzu, Horim Umarim, that I made fun of my teachers and my parents. Okay? So the Mashgiach walks by and he sees what's going on. And he looks at the Bachar and he says, it's called Moshe. He says, Moshe, don't forget, Elul's only 6 months away. And that put an end to the festivities and nobody's laughing anymore. The skit's over. Okay, they come to Elul's man in the yeshiva. And it's a week before, everybody's very serious. It's a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week before Rosh Hashanah. And the Rosh Hashiva gets up to the Mashgiach, and he's going to give his fire and brimstone to Shuvah Drasha. And he's all fired up, and it's so serious, and everybody's listening. And Moshe, the late, is sitting in the back of the Beis Medrash. And as the Rabbi is about to begin giving his tshuva drasha, Moshe calls out, says, Rabbi, don't forget, Adar is only 6 months away. So the Mitzki told the story over. It's obviously a funny story. But he had a point. And what was his point? His point was that sometimes in Elul, and certainly in the beginning of Tishrei, we focus so much on Yira, we're afraid. Hopefully we're afraid. Hopefully we're not in the category of, oh, Elul, Olav HaShalom. Hopefully we're afraid. But we focus too much on the pachad, the trepidation, and the fear, and the din, and coronation, judgment day, and oy vavoy, what am I going to do when Sefer HaChaim, v'Sefer HaMavis, Psuchim, v'Fanav, you should be shaking, you should be trembling, you should be crying. But we become so afraid, we forget that what? Ah, there's 6 months away. You forget, Ivdu Es Hashem, b'Simcha. We forget that a non-negotiable element of our divine service is to always have some degree of simcha in our lives. Birnana, come before him with rejoicing, with song. So yes, it's Elul. And yes, we should feel trepidation. And yes, hopefully we're doing a cheshbon and a nefesh. And God should help us that the Kabbalah we took last year, maybe we accomplished. And this year I could choose something else. And if not, go back and try again. But don't forget that the whole world was created for Bikurim. For Israel, I understand. For Torah, I understand. We put it together with Yom HaShishi. Without the six of Sivan, HaShishi, and without the hay of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, without the Reishis of Torah and the Reishis of Israel, the world will cease to exist. Abishvil Bikurim, for first fruits, Shaniku Reishis, the pomegranate's nice, but really? But what is the last pasuk that closes the whole passage of the bringing of the first fruits up to the temple, up to the Kohen? It's not enough stam to bring the fruits. You are commanded to focus on what you have, to be b'simcha, v'samachta b'chol hatuv. You should see that everything you have is good. B'chol hatuv. Rejoice and focus on the fact that everything is good. And adarabah, the klavos come. Why? Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem elokecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav. And it's a choice that we all make. It's a choice that Risa had to make. Her choice should inspire us. I don't know what madriga I'm on. I'm not on that madriga. Hashem yirachim aleinu. But we all have to make a choice. I can't control the external. All I can control, says King David, is knowing the elixir, the elixir of life is to be alirasov. So what really is the simcha of Elo? What really is the simcha of this time period? That should give me joy. I'm not up to Sukkot yet. And there's a specific mitzvah. We quoted from Rav Biderman when we learned it back in the Parsha, if anybody recalls. Rav Elimelech Biderman says the mitzvah of Simchos Yom Tov is greater deoraisa than the mitzvah of, who remembers? Koyve. One person? What? I can't hear. Who's talking? Who said that? Raise your hand. Baruch Hashem. Ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon. Pri eitz hadar ka post marim anaf eitz avos v'arve nacha. You should take the oraisa on the first day, the arba minim. However, how many days are we commanded to be besimcha? Shivas yamim. V'samachta v'chagecha. I don't remember the exact lashon. Please forgive me. And I don't have a full sefer devarim here, but we learned it at the time. For 7 days you shall rejoice before Hashem your God. And Rav Elimelech Biderman says you learn from here that Simchas Yom Tov De'oraisa, to rejoice on the festival according to Torah law, is a greater the mitzvah according to Torah law than the taking of the arba minim. The arba minim, the lulav and esrog, the De'oraisa is a 1 day mitzvah. However, the rejoicing on the festival is a 7 day mitzvah. What is? Let me just one sentence, please. Later. It's not really going to be one sentence. One thought. What should give us the simcha of Yom Tov? The simcha of Yom Tov, the simcha of Elul? The simcha of Yom Tov is a different idiom, but what should give me simchas Elul and simchas Rosh Hashanah? The ability that I can change. The hope that remaking and recreating myself is possible. That even if I have failed in the past, even if I'm frustrated with who I am, do not despair. Al titya'esh. It is possible to change. And that is a tremendous source of simcha. The man has the ability to recreate himself, to remake himself, to tap into the goodness, the purity, the spark in the neshama, to find himself. He can be a different person. So is Elo a time of pachad? Yes. Should Elo also be a time of simcha? Don't forget, Adar is only 6 months away. So I wish us all a very meaningful week. And